City. It's the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour, starring Rob Bartlett. And now, here's the host and the star of our show, Rob Bartlett.
Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody. I am Rob Bartlett, and this is my Radio Comedy Hour, coming to you, not really live, but we are live, essentially.
We're alive.
Live-ish. We're alive.
We're alive. It's wonderful to be alive.
Oh, yeah.
From the legendary studios at 77 WABC, yep. And we're, this is episode 24.
Wow.
I think.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, episode 24. So we've almost come to the...
It would be show 24 for the radio.
Show 24. Okay, show 24.
And
I like the word episode. It just seems more formal than show. Anyway, it's just 24 of them.
Are we going to have a 25th anniversary kind of thing?
Yeah, we'll have a big party. 25th is silver, so I'll be giving you all presents of silver.
The 25th weekly.
And they're out of aluminum foil. So big news, big news. One of our cast members had a milestone last night.
What he passed,
Mr. Steve Mecca,
yes,
audio engineer and co music writer of the original music on the program, actually finally saw Die Hard for the first time.
Whoa!
Which I have voted every year as being the best Christmas movie of all time.
It was really good. It was really good.
That's your whole review. It was good.
Well.
It's the granddaddy of all great action comedy thrillers.
It had you know, like I always look at it from the character's point of view, so I was like nervous the whole time. You know what I mean?
Oh, you really are.
So
case, man.
It was that good.
You actually were in his shoes, but she couldn't be because he doesn't wear shoes in the movie.
That was messed up.
That was
a lot of fake blood.
See, that's also when somebody gets shot in a movie, it's not nearly as disturbing or visceral as when they get stabbed. Because a lot of people have been shot, but everyone has like stuck themselves with something. So being cut with a knife is much worse, and having to walk across the whole office floor on broken glass, shards of sharp broken glass, barefoot. It's a very queasy thing.
Yeah, no, but it was great.
Yeah, some great great fights and
yeah. I'm kind of like, you know, like halfway through it, I was like, I can't believe I took this long.
It was almost, what, 30 years?
Well, it was a while.
And did it come out like in 1986?
I don't know, but it's
I think so. It's like 30
years.
Definitely
my entire life.
Is that the one with Alan Rickman?
Alan Rickman plays the bad guy. Really good, scary bad guy. And then,
Steve, I was just wondering if I could borrow your copy of Die Hard.
Whoa, you could
accept it. There's a redeem code.
Whoa. Oh, it's good.
Because Rob sent
a second.
Gift on iTunes.
No. You've never seen Die Hard, Constantine?
No, I haven't.
What is wrong with you people?
I'm sorry.
No, I haven't seen it. I'm really disturbed. You're all really, really talented. You're all really great people. I love all of you dearly. I just can't believe you've never seen Die Hard. You've seen Die Hard, Mandy.
No, but I've seen Live Soft.
You've never seen Die Hard either?
Okay, let's talk about Mandy
it's
for
one
a moment.
It's one of the most popular movies ever made. The box office was huge.
She hasn't even seen Back to the Future.
Or
Home Alone.
You've never seen Back to the Future? How do you escape these classic movies?
I know. I don't know. Like I said, I was always too busy listening to Broadway cast albums.
I was just
going to
say,
up.
She was too engulfed in Broadway.
Yeah.
That's what happens,
oh,
I guess.
Man.
I can quote Into the Woods, the original with Bernadette Peters. I watched that. Anti-Mame, the movie. I watched that all the time.
Great.
Sound of Music I didn't watch until I was 25. Is that weird?
Do you know that there was a woman who saw... Went to the movies and saw The Sound of Music like every day for like 5 years or something like that.
Why?
I don't know. I just remember reading it. So you would recommend Die Hard. Now, the second one kind of stinks. That's the one at the airport. Also, during Christmas time. The third one is the one with Samuel Jackson.
That's with a vengeance, right?
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah,
that's
wow.
a great one because it has what's his face plays Alan Rickman's brother, and so it's a revenge thing.
Oh, so Alan Rickman's in all of them?
No.
Oh,
no. Oh. He died in the movie. Don't you remember
which one?
Alan Rickman.
In the first one.
He falls down.
That's right. He did. I did. Spoilers? I promise I watched it. I know it sounds like I didn't. But I remember he fell off the building, and he's like,
okay, all right.
Iconic scene.
Oh my god,
yeah. Man.
And
sorry.
You know, everyone was saying, I think it was Lethal Weapon came out after Die Hard, I think, and everyone claimed that Lethal Weapon, they stole the ending, that false ending where the guy comes back to life and has to get shot.
Yeah.
Because Lethal Weapon did the same thing. And I remember hearing in the movie theater, I remember there were these two kids going, he totally stole that. And the other one says, it's not. It was a homage. It was a homage to Die Hard.
Homage.
I just wanted to pull him aside and say it's homage. But the fact that he actually use the word made me happy enough.
Oh, I thought you could choose how you pronounce. I always.
I don't think so. I think
a homage.
He's correct. You can't. All right. No, is this going to be another debate thing like the mincemeat thing?
It's sort of like pumpkins. Like some people say pumpkin. I'm just kidding.
The pretentious.
It's not pretentious. That's the way it's.
The American way would be you pay homage to something.
I don't know.
You never heard of that, huh?
That's American. Sorry, babe.
Other American accepted American.
Listen, when you live here, you speak American.
You gotta speak American. Know what, Steven? I'll honor that.
Homage.
Hold on, I got to take some cream for my cirrhosis.
Oh, God. You know, I just
thought you got that fixed.
No, there's just some things I will never understand. It's homage, homage, Die Hard, Home Alone.
You've never heard somebody say...
I've heard people say homage, assume they mispronounced it.
When they pay homage.
No, but it's different when it's used.
Yeah, as a noun and a...
No, when it's used literarily, it's homage. Literarily.
Yes, are the writer.
But you do pay homage to a person.
So it's two separate words.
Yes, yeah, it is really two separate words.
It's like two verb forms.
Like when you steal a joke. Right. Ah, homage.
Exactly.
So
when there's theft involved, it's
right.
homage.
It's homage, right?
When you're up front about it, you're paying homage.
Yeah, right.
Did you guys see this thing with Southwest Airline? The mother, I don't know, she's suing the airline or whatever because the ticket counter person made fun of her. I guess daughter.
Right.
Oh, yes, I've heard.
Because the daughter's name is Ab City.
Right.
But it's spelled ABCDE.
Yeah, that's not stupid.
I thought it was Ab CD.
Maybe it is Ab CD. I don't know. I thought it was homage and homage. I mean, just,
yeah.
Ab City, whatever it is. It's still a screwed up name. What are parents thinking? You know? And it doesn't necessarily have to be stupid. It's like, you know, like naming a kid whose family's name is Cooper, Hooper, Cooper. It's just, why do parents do that to a kid? What is the point?
My mom grew up with a kid who was named Richard Head.
No.
Like Head exactly spelled H-E-A-D.
No.
No,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, yes. So parents were Richards themselves.
I was going to say, they're going to tease him by calling him Rick Head. That's sad.
I've got a good one, but I feel bad saying it because it is a cultural thing. But my friend was a music teacher, and she, you know, the song, "How is Mandy? Mandy is good." You have to sing it back. She had a student, and I can't say the words, but it was the bad words for butt and the word that rhymes with duck. So, can I say it?
No, of course not.
Okay, well,
what song is she talking about?
Sing it like, "How is blah blah? How is butt duck? How?" It makes no sense when I can't say the swears.
But no, I'm thinking the swears. I'm still not figuring out how that's somebody's
name. It's how you teach notes in music class.
It's because that was the name that person was given when they were born.
No.
Yes.
Come on.
Ass was the first name.
Yep.
And the second name was the F word.
Yeah. No, it's one word. It's an Indian name. And so she had to go, "How is ass fuck? Ass fuck is good." In elementary. I know I said it. I'm sorry.
All right. We're going to have to beat it out of the segment.
Didn't you ever call a bar and ask for Dick Hertz?
Yeah, of course. Of course. I used to do existentialist phone pranks, though. I would call up and say,
"Gotta love Regina.
Do you have Prince Albert in a can?" Yeah. Okay.
Do you have, is your refrigerator running? Yeah. Thanks.
You know, staying on the theme of strange names, my mom's friend, who's a teacher, had a student, Cinnamon McMiniman.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, parents who do that.
What's happening?
That should be a crime. Really? Yeah, that's abuse. That's abuse.
It is. You're
that's
sending,
child abuse.
You're sending them to a life, if I could say the word right, to, yeah, it's a life of embarrassment.
Absidy. I just read.
Absidy.
I just read another article. Luke Skywalker was arrested. I forget for what charge, but Luke Skywalker.
His middle name is Sky.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Well, that's, I mean, that's not terrible.
What about my friends Sharon and Not Sharon, the twins?
One's,
my friend Dean's student taught in New York, and one twin's name was Sharon, and the other one's name was Not Sharon.
Well, at least that's real. I mean, it makes sense. This only is Sharon, one of them is Not Sharon. I mean, the Not Sharon one is going to always play second fiddle, unfortunately. Yeah. But.
She's going to write a bio being Not Sharon.
If
a
kid asks her for some crayons, does it mean she's not sharing them?
That's right.
Oh.
Sorry, Rob the host. My jokes suck.
Mecca.
I like them.
Mecca. I just don't understand. I really don't understand. Iced tea. I just found this out. Iced tea.
Good drink.
No, the actor on Law & Order SVU, the best actor, by the way, on Law & Order SVU, because he has the most quotable lines ever. It's like, yeah, it's really crazy. Three people in the butt. I mean, it's like things, it's always just really outrageous things. He has never eaten a bagel, never tried coffee.
I mean, life.
But he's seen Die Hard. I mean, I got to tell him.
Is it religious?
I don't know. I don't think it's religious. I just think he never had the occasion to or never wanted to. It just doesn't make any sense. Is there any food stuff that you have never had that's a popular food? Well, probably you because you won't eat anything white.
Yeah.
That's true. A very interesting phobia.
Yeah, okay. Tell us about that. How's that work?
She can't. She won't eat marshmallow fluff.
She won't
eat mayonnaise.
It's anything that looks like mayonnaise. I won't eat. I can't even look at it.
So ranch dressing again?
Nope. No ranch dressing. No blue cheese dressing.
Wow.
I can do the occasional vanilla ice cream, but that's because it's in solid form.
Oh, so it's the texture thing?
Yeah, it's anything that looks like mayonnaise.
Wait, was that like a reference?
No, it was an homage.
No.
homage.
The tiki sauce is white.
Were you a big Sex and the City fan?
I've never seen it. I was an Ally McBeal fan.
I don't know. Sex and the City was one of the single worst things.
I need to watch it.
No, don't bother. I'm telling you, you don't have to.
Uh-oh.
It's awful. It's just awful.
Yeah, but it's iconic.
It is iconic.
I'm going to give you one. You say Sex and the City, right?
Yeah.
You know, some people believe it's Sex and the City.
The
Nelson Mandela effect or just the Mandela effect?
That was the title, Sex and, I think.
I said and.
Did you say
Sex in the City? It sounded like N, but it's
not like N.
It's
like
in,
you know, like that N apostrophe. Sex in the City. You know that really sassy way of saying N. You know, Sex in the City. You know.
I just know the sex.
it's very nice of you to fly in just for that today, Constantine. I think this is probably a good point to introduce the Robbio Radio Players.
All right.
Here in Assembly, formerly the head writer of Saturday Night Live, screenwriter of many feature films, countless books, all available on Amazon.com, Mr. Andrew Smith.
Hey.
A musical theater actress who is the quintessential embodiment of the word guileless, and whose dog Hufflepuff has begged you listeners to come up with a less mortifying name for him. You can post suggestions on @TheRobbio on Twitter. Ms. Mandy Lee Pantyhose Thompson.
All right. Why, thank you.
You really can. You can offer. There was a poll recently that.
I know. You told me about this.
But you know, they just agreed that you have to give that dog another name.
At least I didn't name her Abacidi or whatever it was.
Pronounce it for Constant.
Abcd.
Abcd. Actor, singer, audio engineer, musician. You can check out his brand new single.
Oh.
If This Isn't Faith, at SteveMecca.com. Mr. Steve Mecca.
Hey.
And it's like a real, like official, like
music video. It's like very impressive.
Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's called If This Isn't Faith.
Yeah. And it's, you look good in it. Yeah, no, I'm serious. Like,
thank you.
I might, I could turn. I could turn for you.
He is a dreamboat.
No, really. But you look, I just think a couple of things. You're really a raw emotion. In this video, it's just, you can see the rawness, you have this intensity, and I'm just warning you men out there, do not let your girlfriends or wives watch it, because it won't be a good night for you, because you will be constantly compared to If This Isn't Faith, and the dreamboat who's in the video.
That's right.
And
thank you for that, Rob.
You're very welcome. I can say that freely and easily, because it's not a threat to me whatsoever, because I'm not a musician. I'm not a pop star, and I'm not a dreamboat. So I can be happy for you. If you were another comedian, no, that's the thing. I would wish for your ill well health. Actor trained in classical opera, a tenor currently on the tour Phantom of the Opera, but is so dedicated to the cause he flies in to be with us here on the Robbio Radio Comedy Hour, Mr. Constantine Pappas.
Yeah. Let's go,
ladies and gentlemen. And last but certainly not least, actor, singer, voiceover artist, and stalwart keeper of the faith, Ms. Megan Simard.
So stalwart.
Ladies and gentlemen, Megan Simard. So here, this might be a good time to do a get to know your cast member.
Oh, I love those.
Oh, no, all right. We'll save it for the. We have a very exciting announcement. Gather round. I'm here to let you all know that The Ruthless Spectator, the comedy sketch website that was founded by our director, Gary Grant, and myself, yay, those 5 years ago, has now come up with initially three, there's going to be more, half-hour episodes of Ruthless Spectator Presents. That will be... They will be available on Amazon.com for digital streaming purposes, so you can get immediate satisfaction.
Yes.
That should be on there as we speak. And then they will also be available as DVDs that you can pick up in Target and Walmart and wherever you get your DVDs, Family Video or wherever that is. I mean, I'd say Blockbuster, but Blockbuster isn't there. It's three great specials. One is... the Ruthless Spectator, Donald Trump. One is the Ruthless Spectator Sells Out, which is all commercial parodies. But the most important one is the Ruthless Spectator Christmas Special, which includes the only version of Salmonella's Night Before Christmas in Brooklyn, the only video version. So you'll be able to see and hear that for the first time. And it's also available on Amazon UK. So if you're listening to this podcast across the pond, we didn't leave you out. So check that out. It makes a great stocking stuffer. We'll be back after these real messages. I want to remind you to check us out on Twitter, at The Robbio, and Robbio Radio Comedy on Instagram, or email us at RobbioRadioComedyHour@gmail.com. If you're listening to the podcast right now, stay tuned for all the grown-up adult fun coming on segment four. If you're just listening to the radio, you won't be able to hear that. It's not suitable for broadcast. But if you download the podcast on Wednesday when it becomes available, you will not only hear this program, you will hear that exclusive adult content. And it's worth it. Matter of fact, why don't you subscribe so that way it'll be waiting for you on Wednesday. It's at OG Podcast Network, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Check it out. Guaranteed laughs. We'll be back with more of the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour right here on 77 WABC. Welcome back to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. I am Rob Bartlett, and this is my Radio Comedy Hour. We have
Rob, can I interrupt you for just a moment?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I discovered someone and down in Greenwich Village, this brand new act, and I really wanted to bring him here today. His name is El Prestidigitaggio, and he's a radio magician.
Radio magician. Is this part of the Mandy Lee Pantyhose Thompson talent search? I mean, I don't think I've ever heard.
That's right. He does magic tricks on the radio. Isn't that a hoot and a half?
A radio magician? That doesn't make a lot of sense, Pantyhose.
Rob, just wait until you see him. I brought him with me today because I knew that you probably couldn't wait to have him on your show.
Okay. I'm game. A radio magician? Bring him in. This is his intro. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour, a master of prestidigitation and wizardry, the fabulous and very mysterious El Prestidigitaggio. Thank you! Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you, Mr. Ron Bartlett. It's Rob. It's Rob Bartlett. Please do not correct, because I am the greatest radio magician in the world. I am El Solamente, the only radio magician in the world. Well, yeah, I guess it's easy to be the greatest when you're the only. It's only easy when you are the greatest. Okay, well, I don't think I've ever seen or heard of magic being performed on the radio, but, knock yourself out. I shall do something unbelievably amazing now to dispel all your hesitation and skepticism, but with one wave of my mysterious magical wand of magic.
Ooh.
Cool.
Wow.
For my first miracle, observe, por favor, in my hand, an ordinary deck of cards. Now, Miss Hose of Panties, would you pick a card, please? Any card.
Oh, I'm so honored. El Prestidigitaggio. Can I call you El?
No, never. I am El Prestidigitaggio to you and to the world. Now, look at your card. Hold onto it tightly. And then, with my magical wand of magic, I will tap your card twice, and presto, magico, disappear! Your card is completely disappear.
Oh, my God! That's incredible! Where did it go? It vanished right before my eyes. I can't believe it!
Excuse me, I hate to butt in here, Mr. Prestidigitaggio Digi, my friend, but the card didn't really disappear. It's still there in Pantyhose's hand. This is a lousy trick. It's not a trick! This amazing magical magic, for I am a Prestidigitaggio, the radio magician. Now, for my next amazement, I will make this chair better. No, no more tricks. No, you're a fraud. I am not a fraud. I am El Prestidigitaggio.
Oh, but he did make the card disappear.
No, he didn't. It's still right there. It's right there.
How did you do that?
Yeah, and you're still here, fraud. You can't do magic on the radio. It doesn't work. Oh. You petty, petty man. You doubt El Prestidigitaggio, the radio magician? Doubt's putting it mildly. I am used to dealing with non-believers and skeptical skeptics. Well, you should be, because you're a scam artist. I am nothing of the sort. I am El Prestidigitaggio, an artiste. You are a fraud. There's no such thing as a radio magician. You are a complete... Presto! Magico! Run, balego! Disappiro! Now!
Oh. Rob? Rob? Oh, my stars and garters! He's gone! He was standing right here in front of me a minute ago, but now he's gone! Rob!
No, I'm not gone. I'm still here, Mandy. I have made Mr. Ron Barley vanish into thin air. He has disappeared.
No, he hasn't.
Because I am El Prestidigitaggio, the radio magician. And now, for my next amazing feat, I take over this show.
Welcome to the El Prestidigitaggio Radio Magic Hour. We have a great show for you tonight. I want reminding you, I am appearing at the Magic Mansion on the island of Staten this Friday and Saturday.
I'm still here! That's it. I've had enough. Out, out, get out. I'm going to call security.
All right. And now, I exit. With a wave of my magical wand of magic, I am gone. Excuse me. Just move the chair. Thank you. Door, please. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Wow. That was amazing.
Oh, wow. Amazing. I let him go on so long. El Prestidigitaggio, my ass.
Oh, then where were you, Rob?
I was standing right here.
Uh-huh. The bathroom, huh?
No, I was standing right next to you. Didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Excuse me, Rob.
What?
Do you think El Prestidigio ever met that guy, Rudolfo, the trapeze, the tightrope walker?
Aerialist! Rudolfo is an aerialist! I'm the man of a voice. Man of a thousand voices, I am man of a voice.
But, I understand that.
You do.
I do.
I know that you understand that, Constantine. Yeah. And here's a little surprise for you. Last week we did a new feature called loose segment, Get to Know Your Cast Member. Mm. And we got some great background, a little backstory from our own Ms. Megan Thamard.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
so,
that's so cool.
And so this week it's your turn.
That's right.
You're taking advantage of the
fact. Oh, my turn. All right.
And we're just going to kind of ask you some questions. And,
sure.
The audience will get to know you.
So, sounds good.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So you're currently on tour.
I am. I'm on tour with the Phantom of the Opera.
And you have how much time there left?
15 more shows.
Okay. I mean, it's not like you're counting them down or anything.
No. I only started counting from 40. It was easy. How good, even number.
How long were you out with the tour?
Oh, gosh. I've been out for about 19 months.
Now, you are a classically trained.
That is correct.
Opera singer. Is that, mm-hmm. is that the correct term, opera singer? Or?
Yeah, I go with that. And I'll say singer, you know.
Okay. Well, you know, there's a singer and then there's an opera singer. That's, you know, it's... You know, there's a difference. Opera singer.
Yeah, you know, a singer can be anyone. An opera singer, you picture the fat Italian. Well, you know.
Wing can be a singer, but, you know, you're an opera singer.
That's true.
So where did you train?
Fresno, California.
Which is the heart of opera training, ladies and gentlemen. It is the opera training capital of the world,
also
Fresno,
known
California.
As the armpit of California. Surprise, surprise.
Fresno. So what makes... a young gentleman such as yourself, at the age of 18, I'm assuming, decide that he's going to go into opera?
Well, you know, actually, I turned 14, and I was just going into high school, and I decided to not audition for the choir. Or I did audition for the choir, but I had a stronger passion to go into a forensics speech and debate. And so I didn't have enough electives.
Natural sidestep.
Right. And so my dad said, you have to go get voice lessons. So my very first voice lesson, I remember it, Edna Garabedian. We sang some scales. She tweaked my posture a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I bet she did.
Oh, yeah. And this much louder voice came out. And
sure.
It blew my mind. I was like, where did that volume come from? And then she said, well, you know, opera. And then I could just remember, you know, growing up listening to Looney Tunes, watching Bugs Bunny.
What's Opera, Doc?
Right.
Yeah.
What's Opera? Right, exactly. Figaro. All of that. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, I can do that. And it was cool to think about that.
So you could be a cartoon character. See, that makes sense now. That makes total sense.
Well, yeah. Look at my face.
So who else got a...
I have a question.
Well, go right ahead, Andrew, as long as it's clean.
I mean, even though you sing opera and you're in opera and mm-hmm. you're an opera guy...
Right.
Do you think opera's boring as I do?
It depends. You know, I think it's two-thirds too long.
Really?
You know. I mean, you repeat everything all the time.
That's it? That's the question?
That's
fine.
We
have time for one more question. We have one more question.
Yeah,
You do rock, paper, scissors with Megan. So.
Ready, Meg?
Because I don't want to show any favoritism.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Yes.
Okay,
I want to know what you look for in a lady friend.
Oh man, what do I look for in a lady friend? Only you would know, my darling Mandy.
See, for those of you who, you know, aren't following the way things go around here in the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour, both sets of our young people are attached to each other.
Yeah.
So, it's actually a group thing. I think there's definitely going to be something, maybe something a little twisted and sorted, maybe for 7-4.
You know, if we ever get bored.
All right. Well, Constantine Pappas, we're going to welcome you back full time.
All right.
And get off the road, and hopefully we're going to get you on, you know, to do something closer, like on Broadway. I can see you being in Chicago or Evan Hansen or one of those. I can see you definitely.
I thought Broadway, not Chicago.
No, I do. All right. We're gonna go to some real commercials, ladies and gentlemen, and then we'll be back with segment three. Segment three will have a brand new feature. It will be Megan and Mandy's Modern Guide to Dating. So stick around for that. We'll be right back here with more of the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour on 77 WABC. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. I am Rob Bartlett. This is my Radio Comedy Hour. I just want to remind you guys to check us out on Twitter, at the Robbio, and Robbio Radio Comedy on Instagram. Email us at Robbio Radio Comedy Hour at gmail.com. If you're listening to the podcast right now, stay tuned because some grown-up adult fun is coming up on segment four. If you're just listening here on the radio, broadcast radio live, you can hear segment four if you prescribe. That's right. Prescribe to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour on iTunes or OG Podcast Network.
Ask your doctor about segment four.
Right. Spotify, Stitcher, and you will get access to the exclusive podcast only segment four, which is worth it. So, and I say to subscribe because just downloading it, you actually have to do it physically and you'll forget, and you don't want to forget. You want it there waiting for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like an old friend.
Aww.
The podcast will just go, hey, how you doing? I missed you, man. You haven't been here in a while. You know, if you subscribed, I'd be here all the time. I'd be waiting for you.
Aww.
So,
that's sweet.
We revealed something. I don't know if we were supposed to keep it secret or not, that the four youthful members of the Robbio Radio Comedy Players are kind of, what do I say?
They're a couple of couples. They're coupled up.
They're coupled up. There's a couple of couples. And,
yep. Couple square.
That's
which
right.
Ones?
That's right. Well, we're going to let the audience figure that one out. You know, it's not too hard. But we thought, Gary and I were talking, we thought it'd be really good for the ladies. That's right. The ladies.
Hello.
The ladies to offer some advice about dating. Because, you know, you're both obviously experienced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not to say that, you know, but. No, I mean.
We're women of the world.
What's
we
that?
Are.
They've got a man.
And they each have a man.
Yeah.
So we present here. And some of you have actually sent us questions, either through Twitter or email. About this, it's Megan and Mandy's Modern Guide to Romance.
Yeah. I feel like we should have, like, a bottle of wine for this.
I know, right? We should be winding it up, I think.
I don't think we need to make it easier for you guys, too. All right, this is Lauren from Phoenix.
Okay.
She emailed us on robbioradiocomedy@gmail.com. What's the best way to break up with a narcissist?
Oh.
Yes, I have experience with this.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I've done this before. Give him a mirror and then run the other way.
Oh,
that's pissy.
Yeah,
that was very pissy.
Yeah,
and to the point.
Thank you.
Very. That's sage advice from you.
I have nothing to add. That's perfect.
No, nothing needs to be.
No.
It's on its own. It's just perfect.
Namaste.
Yeah. Okay. Jessica McGlynn from Oak Park, Kansas, emailed us at RobbioRadioComedyHour@gmail. She wants to know. Actually, she has a situation. My boyfriend is always late. I think it's very disrespectful. What can I do to make sure he's on time?
That's rough. I've been there before. Like, I've definitely been waiting 45 minutes to an hour for my date to show up.
Yeah.
And we had been dating for a long time, so that's hard. I think the trick is to make any plans at least an hour beforehand and make him wait.
I like that.
Yeah, that's my plan, because then he knows that you're worthy and he'll never actually ever be late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's why I'm always late, Constance. That's what I'm doing.
So you're stooping to
manipulation. Yes. And manipulation.
To manipulate the man.
The crux of any happy relationship.
That's true. I have to say that I would call it the crux. Now, did she do that to you, Steve?
No.
Steve is never late.
He's never late.
Mm-mm.
All right.
No, Stephen's very punctual.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's because they live together.
Yeah, that helps.
It's difficult to be late when you're in the next room.
Yeah, that helps. But even before, he was always actually one of the things that I liked best about him when we first started dating. He was never, ever late. So, aww. Yeah.
That was in my dating
It wasn't your dating profile. You got your merit badge and the scouts for that. What was that? What?
He just popped. Constantine just popped in with "All you need is a leash." I don't know where that came from.
Sound of a whip cracking.
Not a whip. Yes.
We'll get into what kind of a whip on segment four. Okay. Here's an intriguing one. Gene from Hagerstown, Maryland. Tweeted us at the Robbio on Twitter. He says, "My wife wants to have an open marriage. What effect do you think that might have on our relationship?"
Wow. First of all, congratulations, Jean. I just want to be the first to say.
And from Maryland? She's from Maryland?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's not exactly a...
No, hey, no. He's a man.
Oh.
His wife wants an open marriage.
They're probably both from Maryland, I would think.
Yes, they're both from Maryland. And who knows? Maybe his wife's name is also Gene with a J.
Right.
But this was Gene with a G.
Gene with a G.
Oh, this is all kinds of crazy.
It is kind of crazy. Well, I think what's crazy is the wife wants the open marriage. Usually it's the guy, isn't it?
I mean, I don't know. I'd have to see some statistics on that, I think. I think, honestly, I think that they're more common
now
than you'd think.
Yes.
And I think... it would depend on, I mean, it sounds like he doesn't want one, right? From the phrasing of his question.
I think you're right,
like,
Megan.
The tone, like, indicates that he's not into it.
Well,
right?
We should examine him, because if he's right. Really not into it, then he needs to be
head
examined.
Some people are super monogamous, and that's, like, I get that. Maybe he feels threatened a little bit by that.
Maybe
he's afraid they're going to meet somebody and move on. But I say, if she really wants one, give it a try. And then if it doesn't work out, you have a reason to get more money in the divorce.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Well, let's assume that there are a few people in the audience that don't understand what an open marriage really is. What is the technical confines of an open marriage?
Oh, well, Mandy, you want to take that?
Well, what I understand is that, from what I understand, it's that you open the relationship up to date other people while you're still in the marriage.
Right, which I think that differs from, like, a polyamorous relationship.
Correct.
Where a lot of times they'll date the same person.
It's just one person.
So an open marriage, you're kind of, like, given free reign to date whoever you want.
Right.
There's a lot of rules and boundaries that have to be set if you go into this.
Yeah.
I would think you should get, a negotiator. You should definitely,
you should write it out.
Yeah, you should have a contract.
Definitely have a contract for an open marriage. 100%. Like...
Do you guys know anybody who's...
No.
Mandy just nodded her head. Mandy knows someone who is in an open relationship. Mandy, without giving names, let us know.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's a polyamorous relationship.
Okay.
So
right. Slightly different.
It's my two friends.
What?
Well, I'm not using real names.
Oh, yeah.
But why pick those to be two names?
Because they rhyme with their real names.
Oh. There you go, man.
They're very happy. They're not hiding it. They're very happy.
Yeah, and that it works for them, apparently.
Yes.
That's great.
But I feel like...
We're not talking about pets, okay? We're talking about humans.
Pets are very open about it. Very progressive.
Yes. They are. Very progressive.
So you're going to say something, Meg, I interrupt you.
No. I mean, I think the first time I learned that open marriages were more common than I thought was actually from my therapist. She was like, you know, people do that. And I was like, yeah, but not really. And she's like, no, like a lot of people. And I was like, really? And she's like, yeah. And you know what? It usually works. And I was like, I just remember my mind being blown by my therapist's statistic.
Where was her hand?
Andrew.
Now, I think cheating is kind of a theme, right? I mean,
yes.
Open marriage is not, you know,
open
and polyamorous
is technically not cheating.
Neither is polyamorous, right? Because it's
correct.
Agreed upon.
Because there's a rule,
right? Okay. Because cheating is really, I mean, if there is a contract for an open marriage and a polyamorous relationship, verbal or written, then cheating would be the breach of that contract, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can cheat in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
well,
for sure.
Carol from Los Angeles wants to know, is a three-way cheating?
Well, I think it depends on who's in the three-way, right?
Well,
is she in it?
She doesn't offer any more information.
Did her significant other have one without her?
She doesn't say. She just wants to know if it's cheating. We don't know if she is or he is, and why she wants that information so that she can be prepared.
Carol from California, we need more specifics.
Yeah, we need to know exactly who the players are.
All right, tweet us at the radio.
Menage a trois.
Oui, oui. He's not menage a trois. He's an idiot. See, you know what that is? That's precision.
That's craft.
Do we have time for one more?
Yeah.
We do have time for one more. Let's see. Let's look through them. Megan, you look through them and see which one tickles your fancy. Oh,
yeah.
Here. Greg Feldman writes.
Okay.
My girlfriend has to get drunk in order to make love with me. What should I do?
Oh, I know. I know what to do.
Yeah, Mandy, go ahead.
Well, just tell him to buy a lot of wine and liquor.
Yeah.
And then he's all ready anytime she wants to drink.
Yeah.
So he's encouraging the alcoholism?
Yeah. I mean, if she likes to enjoy a few.
Yeah. I mean, how's her liver?
Right.
Well, see, again, we don't have
the information.
Mandy,
like,
how's your liver?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. This did come from
Connecticut. Interesting.
Those New Englanders.
Well, what would you say? What would you guys say? I'm going to ask you guys a question personally. What would you say? What kind of pointers could you give people who are dating, women and men? What pointers could you give them to help improve whatever relationship they're about to start or, you know what I'm saying?
About to start. So say like this is a fresh relationship.
First date. What first date tips?
Mandy has a good one.
Well, I'm a very good first dater. Constantine can attest. Our first date, I brought two of my best friends with me. And
is a three-way cheating?
I brought two of my best friends with me. And then we went over one of their house to watch the Oscars and I fell asleep. That was Constantine and I's first date.
That was the first date?
Yeah, it was. He came to see me in a show, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your first date?
Steven's and my first date, he actually came to pick me up. And we went out and got snacks, and then we walked around the city. And I think I'm a great first date because I have no expectations whatsoever. So if you go into it, setting the bar very, very low. I guess that's my advice to anybody starting out in a new relationship. Set the bar extremely low.
Ouch.
So that anything good that comes out of it is going to feel 10 times better.
Lowered expectations.
Lower your expectations.
Lowered expectations. Well, that's sage advice as well.
Yeah. You should have high expectations for food, low expectations for love.
Well, that sounds good. That sounds good. Well, that, ladies, has provided us with a perfect ending to yet another episode of the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. Got to remind you guys, remember, the Ruthless Spectator Presents will be available. All three episodes on one DVD, as I'm led to believe, or streaming live in real time on Amazon.com. Ruthless Spectator Presents The Trump Train. Ruthless Spectator Presents the Christmas Special, and Ruthless Spectator Sells Out, which is all the commercial parodies, available on Amazon, UK, and US.
Yeah.
So our British friends can actually see what we look like and all the stuff they've been listening to. They can actually see with their own eyes. Our show is produced by Gary Grant and me, Rob Bartlett, written by Andrew Smith and me, Rob Bartlett, starring Megan Simard, Mandy Lee Thompson, Steve Mecca, Constantine Pappas.
That's right.
And me, Rob Bartlett. Original music by Gary Grant and Steve Mecca. Engineered by Steve Mecca. Directed by Gary Grant. No animals were harmed in the production of this program, boys and girls. So, PETA, you know that we're upholding your standards. If you're listening to the podcast right now, stay tuned for more grown-up adult fun on segment 4. We'll see you all next week right here on 77 WABC.
Yeah.
I take this subway on the Second Avenue subway, which is a brand new subway. So, and when it's up on Second Avenue, it looks like the Racquet Club subway, you know? Then it gets to 57th and 8th or 7th, and everybody gets out, and they get in a whole new group of people. Anyway, I'm reading the evacuation instructions, emergency instructions, because I got tired of reading Dr. Zitzmore. Remember him? Yeah.
Dr. Zitzmore.
Yeah. Or is it Zitzmore?
Zitzmore, but it sounds like Zitz.
Zitzmore, which is a bad name for a dermatologist.
No, I think so. Well, it's Dr. Pimple Popper, though. He's got the special
one. Well, he's good.
He's got a TV show.
Yeah.
That's just really unknown.
Anyway,
you would think that if you're born with the name Pimple Popper, you have to go into
dermatology. Yeah.
You don't think so?
Well, then her real name isn't.
There's no truth. There's no truth in advertising. So, all right.
Anyway, so the emergency instructions that are up there on the car, there are four categories, fire, medical, police, and evacuation.
Okay.
So each category, like for fire, like if your clothes are on fire, there's somebody else on fire, the thing is on fire, the car's on fire, the first instruction is, don't pull the emergency cord. What? Don't pull the emergency cord and don't leave the car. Don't leave the car. Second one, medical. If somebody's like throwing up or there's a knife in somebody or
heart attack.
Don't pull the emergency cord and don't leave the building. You know, I mean, don't leave the car. Second, third one, you want a police guy? You need a policeman because there's something going on and there's a crime being. Don't pull the cord and don't leave the car. Next one, the fourth one is evacuation. Evacuation. What to do for evacuation? Don't leave the car. Don't go. Don't stay where you are. Stay. Don't evacuate.
That was actually.
And I felt.
Confusing.
Confusing.
Yeah, it's really confusing. So what's the one scenario when you can pull the emergency cord? What is it?
I think it's when the car gets separated from the train. Oh. I think that's the only time. Because you can't stop the whole train because I think each emergency brake is for each car.
Oh.
I believe.
Right, so they wouldn't want you to pull that cord while the train is moving because that would cause some big time fucking trouble.
Fuck things up, yeah.
Or maybe that cord is to alert emergency, so once it separates, they're just pulling the cord for funsies, and the conductor doesn't hear about it.
It's a psychological deterrent for people I don't know.
Whenever I'm in the subway, there's always a guy pulling his own cord, so it's just...
You know, do you think if you ever were dating a girl that did voiceovers for Disney, you could get her to do the voice while you're making love?
That's really sick.
Oh no! It's so big. Wouldn't that be great?
I can see Mickey Mouse.
Just shut up and kick it.
Gilbert Gottfried, Iago from Disney, read 50 Shades of Grey, right? And it's hilarious.
Oh, he did.
No, that's pretty.
Yeah.
Good.
He tied my ankles together. Separated the lips of my vagina. And he rubbed my clitoris until she screamed. Whoa wee!
It sounds like dueling Gilberts.
Oh my god, that's the worst.
I used to just do Goofy on requested, you know. I don't think I'm gonna come.
Did you do it?
Oh, that's nice.
No, I didn't. I'm just saying that because it's stupid.
Well, what about, I think it was a Second City skip, but they talk about how Belle's relationship with the Beast is so, like, bad, actually. Like, because Stockholm Syndrome. Yeah. When a man traps you in his castle.
It's Stockholm Syndrome, but they're not addressing the bestiality aspect of it.
Well, that too, yeah.
You know?
Priorities, Rob.
So big.
Oh, hey, by the way, Rob, you remember last week you talked about Baby It's Cold Outside?
Yes.
And it just got banned.
It did?
No.
What?
Yes. No, there's a radio station that listened to requests from their listeners, and they said that they weren't going to play it anymore. Ah, it's not like banned. So.
Well, it's banned on that station. Yeah. I mean,
there's a petition that's out from a group.
That's it, Ben.
It's from a group. And what's the name of the group?
Oh, they banned it from some Cleveland radio. I mean, that means nothing. But there is a group that has, there's an official women's group that has actually protested the song, saying it's basically a date rape song.
And in
the context of the way people think now, it kind of is. But even back then, it was kind of creepy because he's plying her with liquor, have another drink. It's snowing. You really can't go home without boots. You really better stay here tonight. It's a very creepy scenario.
I mean, I saw a very funny meme that breaks down like the five different scenarios of how people could feel about this song. And one was like, it's fine. And the other was like, it's really creepy. And the third one's like, well, if you think about it during the time where it was written, you have to take that into account. And the other one's like, or maybe it's just kind of like not a great song. And I'm of the last one.
I can see it from both sides. I mean, it's like, you know, maybe it's not that bad. Maybe it's bad. But there's this one line. There's the one line I think that defines all of it is when she goes, what's in this drink?
No, that's roofies
inside.
That's not the line that's creepy. I think it's the line that says she says no. I think that's the line that people have like the greatest objection to, because she straight up says, "I said no," and I think that's like that's the one.
But in all seriousness, I mean, without date rape or anything, haven't you ever begged a girl to stay? Please don't go. Yeah. Stay.
Well, and like I mean, and I think we've all been there at any party, not even like a date, where it's like, I should go home, but I'm having a really good time, and then someone's like, "No, have another drink," and you're like, I don't know if I should. I should go home.
Yeah, but that's a party.
Well, date
that's a party.
Party.
No, but it's a party. No, party's different. Like, there are other people there.
Right, but I'm saying that, you know, that's that kind of same kind of feeling. You know, that's all I'm saying.
It's a different kind of feeling.
There's an ambiguous element in any sexually charged situation.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it.
Yeah. I mean, when I first heard...
Should I or shouldn't I?
Right.
If you haven't done it before with that person and you're in that ambiguous moment, there is that back and forth. Should I? Shouldn't I?
Right. It's a conflict.
It's a conflict. And you're also making, and also you, if you make the choice to move forward, very momentarily, you might think it's a good idea. Then all of a sudden,
right, you're like,
this is not good.
I gotta go.
You know, now.
I think attaching any kind of sexuality to Christmas is really creepy, no matter what. You know, I mean, Santa Claus comes down your chimney just once a year.
Oh. And I don't know.
That to me is a little...
Rubble. He was kissing mom under the... Yeah, there's a lot.
I know there is. That's what I'm saying. I object to it. You know?
I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus.
I saw daddy kissing Santa Claus. That was
Santa
a wake-up call.
Santa Claus kissing one of the reindeers.
What's that?
Yeah.
Baby, please come home for Christmas.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're all love
songs. That's different. That's a love song. That's not like, you know, baby, please come home and fuck me on Christmas Eve. It's please come home. You know, it's
come and trim my Christmas tree.
Well, Santa Baby. We discussed that.
Yeah, there are a lot of love type sexy songs
Santa
for Christmas.
Baby, she's basically
a gold digger.
She's basically a hooker.
Yeah, I mean, that to me is all about, you know, that's a very bad image for women.
What do you think?
Santa Baby. I want a platinum deed to a platinum mine and a ring and a car and...
Santa's fictional, so... I don't think it's a bad image for women. I say get it, girl. I've been disappointed enough in my life
material things.
that I say get it if you can. That's all I'm saying.